agreement with the Yemeni central government. This was an important juncture in the progress made by the al-Shabaab al-Mumen.
The ideology of Ansar Allah was expanding further and further. This development was intolerable for the ruling regime, the Saudis, and the United States. They, however, needed time to plan and develop new conspiracies. It was then when a great storm started.
The wave of the Arab Spring, or Islamic Awakening, which marched over the Arab lands when the breeze of change reached Yemen, the people from all the classes, tribes, and religions in the country took to the streets. In other words, the people of Yemen completely agreed that the country's governmental system had to change.
And Ansarullah were the first political faction that announced their commitment to join the popular revolution in Sana'a.
It was then that other political parties emerged, late to join the revolutionary wave. Those were not the ones inviting others to the revolution from the very beginning, so sought at best to ride on the wave.
Hence, the reform movement, its leaders and sheikhs, its political, religious and tribal factions, all rallied around the revolution and band together to challenge the ruling system in Yemen in the name of the revolution.
The waves of revolution removed all obstacles and hurdles in its wake and was not far from victory. Its opponents, of course, particularly the Saudis, were not willing to accept this as inevitable, and thus implemented their plan of disruption. On a Friday, which became known as the Friday of Dignity, a group, who has not to date been identified, initiated riots, set property on fire, and carried out murders and even massacres. One of the analyses of the incidents that occurred on that Friday concludes that the attacks were masterminded by Yemeni army general Ali Mohsen al-Ammar because he was seeking to dissociate himself from Ali Abdullah Saleh, adopt a revolutionary mask, and manipulate the revolution to enable his rise to power.
When al-Ahmar joined the ranks of the revolutionaries, it was not because he was interested in furthering the revolution, but because he was seeking to save himself and his master. His attempts to control the revolutionaries and interfere with its course caused the revolution to rupture.
They started to assume control of Sana'a using their military force upon which they depended, namely al-Ahmar's command over the 1st Armored Division, and managed to take control of the revolution and become its spokesperson.
A short time later, news emerged, which gave the Yemenis hope regarding the potential victory of their revolution. Saleh has been assassinated and killed in the presidential mosque. It became known afterwards that this news was exaggerated and that Saleh had been taken to Saudi Arabia, having suffered an injury. The incident against the president weakened him, and he was prepared to accommodate any moderate solution. It was then when the Persian Gulf Cooperation Council plan, which had been prepared under Saudi leadership, was placed before the Yemeni head of state. The plan would help Saleh avoid prosecution, but oblige him in return to step down, a move that would convince the people of Yemen that they had won.
The plan also entailed a power-sharing agreement between the joint meeting parties and Saleh, and that was precisely what happened. It, however, did not allot a place to the Zaidi movement, namely the Ansarullah, who were completely left out of the political equation.
The positions and ministerial offices were distributed between the two sides to the agreement. The youths of the revolution were ignored and begrudged any and every credit.
In other words, imagine a country undergoing a revolution, but nothing in fact changes.
Of course, we rejected the plan as it only sought to redistribute power and preserve the status quo of the pillars of the former administration and had not been devised to resolve the ordeal of the people.
The situation continued like this when Abdurrabbu Mansur Hadi seized power under the condition that he retains power for 2 years until new elections are held in 2014.
President Hadi obviously faces enormous challenges. Because of his leadership, he's been able to initiate a national dialogue that can potentially bring the parties all together in Yemen.
But he actually did not manage to secure the people's faith. In other words, Yemenis did not feel that those parties actually represented them and that the party's only concern was the people's progress, lives, and pain. And so the people did not trust these political parties.
Consequently, a government full of corruption and insecurity took form in Yemen, and thus the people's plight was exacerbated.
After a while, corruption in government impacted negatively upon the people and their economic situation, which further exacerbated the entire relationship between the government and the people, which had come to a head in the country and had deteriorated Yemen into a serious dilemma.
The same situation, which existed during the Saleh rule, continued under Hadi. In other words, the economic situation was bad and continued like that.
And also, there was corruption in all aspects of life, even on a mental level.
They tried to ignore all other political factions, and the Yemeni nation was still perceived as weak.
We proposed that a national committee be formed, which would emanate from the national dialogue meetings, and that this committee act as the council of representatives of the people. But unfortunately, the proposal was undermined by the Mu'tamir and Al-Islah parties, since they knew it would enable real participation.
Although Ansarullah had been omitted from Yemen's political arena, the movement continued its political activities. They asked for martyr Sayyid Hussein Badruddin's body to be returned, a demand that was met by the government. The people's reaction to Hussein Badruddin's funeral showed just how strong Ansarullah's position among the people was.
Ali Saleh had intended to keep al-Din's body hidden and forgotten, but around 1 million people turned up to the burial, which I too participated in. They said prayers at the burial site and built a dome over it.
After 2011 and following Saleh's ouster, Ansarullah managed to find itself in an atmosphere that featured greater freedom. They started political and cultural activities, expanded their presence into neighboring governorates, where some confrontations took place with the Takfiri movement, presented by Al-Islah Party.
Although Ansarullah was known to uphold Shia thoughts and ideologies, they possessed positive influence among Yemen's general public. The perspective maintained by martyr Sayyid Hussein al-Houthi and later his brother Abdul Malik entailed moderation and interaction with all the Yemenis, notwithstanding their inclination or political religious interests. This feature had resulted in the speedy development of Ansarullah's ideology and was in part responsible for attracting more supporters. Their welcomed efforts guaranteed concern and fear on the part of the government, which was, as before, being supported by the Saudis. The administration, however, had points of weakness that had ruled out serious confrontation with Ansarullah. The instances of weakness did not simply concern the economic situation. In the security area, fragilities were enhanced by numerous assassinations of national personalities. In the political arena, smaller parties and factions have all been set aside except for two or three major political parties.
And they ignored the others. Hadi, however, was not holding a true grip on power, and his domination was becoming more limited with time, be it as a result of Ansarullah's expansion, Al-Qaeda's advancement in certain areas, development of the South's movement, or the frustrations with security problems. Matters worsened to a point where they even lost control of Sana'a, and as a result, their only important task and mission became the eradication of their enemies, and eventually, this situation could not go on anymore.
They tried to destroy Yemen's heritage and history, as well as all moderate and coexisting ideas in the country, imposing their own Takfiri ideology.
It was for this reason we were faced with the decision. Either leave everything as it is, let the corruption worsen, the people suffer more adversity, and the security situation worsen until things come to starvation and massacre of the people of Yemen, or to actually do something. So we chose to take action, and the people responded to this in a remarkable way. The corrupt parties, in response to our actions, sought to involve their foreign allies, namely the US and regional nations. We told them not to do so because they had already lost the support of the people.
The revolutionary movement that had started from the people at the grassroots level, not the political parties, continued and rejected government policies with protests and staged strikes.
Opponents of Ansarullah were seeking a way to strike back at the movement, while the distance and tensions between the people and the central government continued to grow wider.
Last year and after the government's failure in the sixth war in Rhodes were made by fringe groups such as Al-Islah Takfiri forces and also the military under the command of Ali Mohsen Al-Ahmar. This influence grew and went on as far as the taking place of the Dammaj incident.